It is Black History Month, and a lot of us in northern Minnesota may assume that African Americans did not play a large role in Minnesota history. But this morning, we're going to hear about a man who did play a large role in Minnesota history. And joining us is local historian Barry Babcock. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning.
Tell us about George Bongo.
Well, George and his entire family are some of those people that unfortunately have fallen through the cracks of our history, like so many people in our eastern and northern part of the state. There's not much out there about George Bongo, and I've been doing some research for a number of years right now, but what triggered me onto him was being interested in Minnesota history. I have some books that were written by the late, great Minnesota historian Grace Lee Newt, one called Rainy River Country. I was happened to be reading it, and she's speaking about an early white fur trader from the Northwest Company that was posted just below, well, what would be now in the area of International Falls in the 1790s. And she says in the book, quote, "The fiddler for the numerous dances held at these two new posts was, according to McKay, one of the, quote, ordinariest Negroes he had ever seen, Robertson by name. As the well-known Bongo family of half-Negro and half-Indian blood originated in Minnesota country with a slave whose master's name was Robertson. It is more than likely that the escaped slave found his way to the safe abode in the wilderness where all things are free." That triggered my imagination about these Bongas that had sought freedom in this wilderness where all things are free. Started doing a little research on it. Grace Lee Newt mentions in a number of her other books about the Bongas, the famed voyagers, the muscle of the fur trade, that the family had the reputation for this prodigious strength. George's father, Pierre, who was the Robertson mentioned in this quote, is reputed to have carried 450 pounds across the 9-mile Grand Portage. And George himself is reputed to have carried 700 pounds around the long Grand Portage of the St. Louis River in what's now Jay Cook State Park. But when investigating this a little bit, their history goes back to Mackinac in the 1780s, where it's listed that a Colonel Daniel Robertson of the British Army, who was stationed there, had a servant or slave by the name of John Bongo. He had several other slaves, too. And it's recorded in Michigan history that in 1787, this Colonel Robertson died. And upon his death, John Bongo and the other blacks were granted their freedom. John married one of the female slaves, a woman by the name of was either Jeannie or Marie, and they had a number of children. And it's believed that John also went into the fur trade and was possessed this great physical strength also, but retired in Mackinac. Well, I shouldn't say retired. He opened up an inn and operated it successfully, made a living for he and his family off running this inn in Mackinac. One of his children was Pierre. Now, Pierre had been a full-blooded man of African descent, who married an Ojibwe woman and had a number of children. And from what I've been able to ascertain, there was four or five children, three boys, George, Stephen, Jack, and a daughter by the name of Marguerite. And all of them did well in the fur trade, but George and his brother Stephen are the two that are probably most well-known in Minnesota history. And I should probably just stop for a minute and say that it's amazing when you look at these people that lived in this part of the country back in the late 1700s and 1800s, the great distances that they traveled by canoe was routine for not only these fur traders, but Native Americans to jump in their canoe, like, say, up in the Red River Valley up towards Winnipeg and travel all the way to Sault Ste. Marie or Mackinac and back again a number of times during their life.
That just is incredible.
In a way, many of them probably traveled more than we did.
Yeah.
And it was commonplace.
Gosh.
And George was one of those. I mean, he would have intimately been acquainted with eastern Manitoba, southern Ontario, the Red River Valley, all of Minnesota, Wisconsin. In fact, does the George's father, Pierre, entered the fur trade, and he was a voyager and engagee for Alexander Henry the Younger, a very famed fur trader and partner in the Northwest Company. Alexander Henry is mostly known, or Alexander Henry the Younger, as opposed to the Elder. The Elder was his uncle, but Alexander Henry the Younger was the one that built the Red River Post on the Red River, now at the site of Pembina, North Dakota, in the extreme northeastern corner of the state, right where Manitoba, Minnesota, and North Dakota all come together. And he operated that for about 10 years before his death. He drowned in the Columbia River out west. It was in the mouth of the Columbia River. But he was quite an interesting guy in himself, but he mentions quite a bit, he notes Pierre. And these voyagers are mostly an unnamed mass of men who are just known as a class that were the muscle of the trade, with a lot of braggadocio, fight, drink, womanizers, the chivalry, and a very colorful group of men who are really a part of our history. But Alexander Henry mentions Bonga, Pierre, George's father, a number of times in his 1,600-page journal. Just a few quick accounts here, as he mentions, this would be at the Red River Post, now present-day Pembina, on March 12, 1802, quote, "Pierre Bonza's wife delivered of a daughter, the first fruit of the fort, and a very black one." Later on November 6, 1803, he mentions again Pierre. He says, quote, "XY Company J. Desford have threatened to kill my servant, Pierre Bonga, in my absence, but did not escape without a sound beating." Remember, these Bongas are huge, powerful men, which is an anomaly in the fur trade in itself, is that most voyagers were hired according to height. They wanted them shorter than 5'5" or 5'6" because they would take up less space in the canoe, more room for cargo. The Bongas were reputed to be at all in excess of 6 feet and 200 pounds and an immense physical strength. But one of the reasons that got them into the accepted amongst the ranks of the voyagers was that they were attributed to be excellent singers.
Really?
Yeah. But George was born, claims to have been born in 1802 in Fond du Lac, and Pierre married an Ojibwe woman. In fact, Schoolcraft, in his 1820 narrative, and that's when he was just hired on by Lewis Cass to accompany the expedition to the headwaters of the Mississippi as a mineralogist, and as they're approaching St. Louis Harbor, Schoolcraft mentions an Indian village downstream from the fort, and he mentions that this is where the famed Bonza family resides, the half-Negro, half-Indian fur trade family. Anyhow, while running out of time here, I just want to go on and mention here quickly about George, is that he moved up in the fur trade. He got an education. He had fur posts on Otter Tail, Leech Lake, down by Mille Lacs. He even had some sub-posts like Bungo Township in Cass County is named after George, because it's believed that one of his sons operated a fur trading post on Bungo Creek. I'd mentioned a couple months ago, I talked about the murder of Alfred Aiken. It was George who had tracked down the killer and turned him over to authorities, along with some other traders who accompanied him to Fort Snelling. It just so happened at that time when he was at Fort Snelling that Dred Scott, the black slave of Dr. John Emerson, was residing at Fort Snelling then from 1836 to 1838. And it's known that George visited with Dred Scott, and it must have had some kind of impression on Scott to see this black man who was so highly respected and doing well in the business area. Your imagination can think of a lot of different things. What did Scott's meeting of Bonga have to do with his decision and friends to take up his case to the Supreme Court, which was one of those meteors that caused the Civil War? Even the Great Dakota Uprising, which I like to call Minnesota Civil War in 1862, where there was 303 Dakota Braves sentenced to be hung, Bonga had written a letter to the Bishop Henry Whipple, who was a close friend of one of Lincoln's secretaries, John Hay, and the letter made it to John Hay, and this was a letter that Bonga had written to Whipple pleading for mercy for these condemned Dakota Braves, and Lincoln was very moved by the letter. Whether directly or indirectly, he sat down during a dark period of the Civil War and commutated all but 38 of the 303 death sentences. So George Bonga, in a way, although he's a Daniel Boone of Minnesota history, he's the antithesis of Daniel Boone, other than the iconic factors, in that he was half Indian himself, never killed an Indian, and during his life he was an interpreter and witness to all, or either he or members of his family, to all the major treaties signed with the Indians. And there's a series of letters called the Bassett Letters, where he pleads for respect for treaty rights and condemns the corruption amongst traders, how they're giving the short end of the stick to the Native Americans. And there's nothing in his history to indicate he did nothing but take the high road as far as looking out for the best interests of the Indians in northern Minnesota. So George Bonga, in a way, was one of these Forrest Gump-type characters, but with, I like to call, the biggest, strongest, smartest man in the North Woods, who seemed to show up at a lot of the early events in Minnesota history that shaped our state. And what he did, the impact of what he did, is we're still living with today. And unfortunately, he's a man who's been forgotten in our history. So I appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak to George.
Yeah, well, thank you for helping us remember George Bonga. And Barry, you said it was you had to work pretty hard to find this all this information. Do you have any advice for people who want to know more?
Hang on for about a year. I might have a book out you can pick up at the store and read about it. I'm working on it right now.
All right, Barry. Thanks for joining us again this morning.
Yep.
Barry Babcock joining us from the LaPorte area. Barry's a local Minnesota historian, and he joins us from time to time to talk about a variety of topics in Minnesota history. Today, the story of George Bonga, or Bonza, or Bongo, what apparently his family was recognized by different names in different places.